fighting for America.
This is a bigger issue than Tony. This highlights a universal problem with law enforcement and how its procedures have been carried out, especially in light of what's happened over the summertime.
Fighting for Idaho.
If you buy 100 books of authoritative Islamic law, what you're going to find is 100% of those books say that jihad is obligatory until the entire world is under Islamic rule. There's no other version of it.
Fighting for you.
School districts, again, have been levying in order to just keep the doors open, let alone keep programs going for our students.
Boise. Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Were you ever specifically briefed on the security implications of using your own email server and using your personal address to email with the president?
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. So I'm certainly well aware of the classification requirements and did not send classified material.
There we have it. Hillary Clinton's big news conference yesterday. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We go now live to Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch for the very latest on the Clinton scandals, the emails. And Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Pretty good. I just like to ask, like, you know, three or four word sentences and let you just go because you have so much knowledge on this case and others. This case involving Hillary Clinton with her emails validates the existence of Judicial Watch, a nonpartisan watchdog group that makes sure we find out these things. Your reaction to the Clinton server, the secret server, her conference yesterday, and what it means for the Republic.
Well, the good news is the reason why you even know about Hillary Clinton's private emails is because of Judicial Watch, because we have 18 lawsuits that have gone their way through the courts, particularly concerning the State Department and her roles and actions and involvement and everything from long ago in Haiti. Remember the Clinton's involvement in Haiti?
Yep.
All the way up to, you know, the last days of her being in office and along the way, things like Benghazi. So we have many, many cases in litigation, and as part of that, you know, the State Department, through its attorneys and the Justice Department, provides sworn declarations to the court saying that they've provided us all the information that's possibly available to them. And in this case, it's pretty clear that in some of the cases that we've closed, that either the State Department or Justice or both have provided false and misleading sworn declarations to a court. So they've got a real problem. Lying to a federal judge is not a good idea. So we're going to resurrect those cases, reopen those, and I think there's sufficient evidence now that, you know, in all of our cases, guess how many Hillary Clinton emails we've seen?
Zero.
Zero. Zero. Not one. So that it wasn't surprising to us initially because in some cases, particularly somebody with Clinton's background, they don't like writing things down. They don't like putting anything in writing. In fact, their old EPA administrator, Browner, used to tell people, don't write anything. She'd have whole staff meetings and refuse to allow people to write anything down. So it's not their practice normally to create records of things. So we weren't terribly surprised because we figured that she had staff, right? She had all sorts of underlings and gophers and deputy assistant whatevers to write things down and send emails for. But now it appears, not it doesn't appear, we know it was a fact that she did have email and that she deliberately set it up in such a way as to create this sort of crisis over what's public, what's private that was written in public, what's public that was written in private. I mean, all this nonsense, she is reveling in the ambiguities around this email and how it's set up and what was done. And of course, you don't want to read the condolence letters from my mother's death, you know, playing the victim status. And if you ask difficult, annoying questions, well, then you're just a bully and you're mean. How dare you? You know, they love assuming this position and they play it pretty artfully. So that's the kickoff position.
So, well, for those of us that again are not nearly as well researched as you, Chris Farrell, you have Lanny Davis saying she didn't break the law. Chris Wallace getting so disgusted with him saying, "Don't you ever get tired of defending the Clintons? They're so lawyer-esque because you could catch them robbing the bank with the money and the gun, and they'd say, oh, we didn't do anything illegal.
Yeah, you made me do it.
Right. It was President. It was Colin Powell. It was Condoleezza Rice. It was President Bush. Yes.
Right. And her statement that you know what she did was permissible and allowed under the rule. It's an absolute lie. It isn't true. A story we put up yesterday on our website, judicialwatch.org, something that's going to get a lot of traction, is that she was running around with an iPad. Accessing and using her iPad for all of her work, and she was told repeatedly that iPad was not an approved device and it was insecure or unsecure. They couldn't lock it down. It was vulnerable to bad guys wanting to get information off of it. And she kept asking the State Department technical services people, the technical security people, to certify it, to verify that the device was okay. And they kept coming back and telling her, no, it's not okay, Madam Secretary. Please don't use the iPad for work. And supposedly the statement was, well, the seventh floor wants it that way, which is, you know, loose code for, Hillary and her chief of staff, Cheryl Mills. You know, that's just the way they're going to do it. And the technical services guys kept coming back saying, no. We can harden the BlackBerry, technically, but this iPad thing, you can't do it. And so she did it anyway, just didn't care. Much to my joy, about 4 hours after we published our story, Catherine Herridge, the very excellent intelligence correspondent from Fox News, surprise, surprise, she came out with her own story exactly along the same lines. Her own sources had said the same thing, and she had run it down to the ground and asked the State Department to verify if it's true. And sure enough, so she has, we have confirmed double outside reporting that Hillary is running around with an unauthorized iPad conducting business, and it was vulnerable to who knows who, right?
Indeed. Before we get to just the break in policy here, let's continue on with the break in security. I mean, a private server at someone's home has nowhere near the security features that the government has. And is this just a case of Hillary Clinton channeling her best Claire Underwood, that she's going to do whatever she wants?
Exactly. I mean, that is exactly what – look, these are very smart, very sophisticated people with their own little army of lawyers, right? They don't do anything. Everything is calculated. Everything is evaluated. And if you think that they just kind of on a whim went ahead and hooked up this server to run email through it just because it was convenient, I mean, my God, it's mind-boggling. Please, to offer that up as an explanation is so offensive. It's so insultingly simplistic. Anyway, it's... It does not pass the giggle test. No one with more than three brain cells but buys that.
Well, and speaking of which, let's continue on with the security. This thing could have been tapped into how many times when we're
sure.
talking about
how
foreign
many hackers? How about the Chinese and the Russians? I mean, how about just anonymous style, mischief makers, guys who are both curious and malicious who want to embarrass her, right? I'm still waiting for former Egyptian President Morsi's wife to release her emails on Hillary. She threatened that a few months ago. She said, look, I have emails back and forth from Hillary Clinton because we met and talked about her husband, who the former Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt that the president adored. He was very upset when he was overthrown. And she says that she has emails from her that would be very embarrassing. I wonder if she'll release her emails.
I wonder if it's the yoga workout.
That was terrifying when I heard that. I mean, that was probably the most disturbing thing I heard yesterday.
Yeah, I love how she's so calculated trying to appeal to regular folks.
Exactly. She's just another soccer mom.
Yeah, and planning Chelsea's wedding and everything, I'm sure. But here's the other thing. In business, you always get these lectures and nobody adheres to them, but you always get these lectures from the boss, don't do personal emails on company business. And here we have the one of the most powerful cabinet positions around, telling us that on her, you know, her alleged work email that was her personal email, she's doing personal business. And then it goes to the issue, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch with us at 580KIDO, of her lecturing her staff not to have private email service, private email accounts. Do all your business on state.gov.
Right. And look, here's, and any of your listeners who are this morning busy driving off to work, they either they should know or they do know that if you're doing your email on your work computer, do you know what your expectation of privacy is with respect to your employer? Zero. Does that mean that your office manager can come in and read your email? Yes. So if you're using your company machine in any capacity, you're running your personal email, excuse me, running it through there, or let's say you're using your company email and you're sending notes to, you know, Uncle Frank and Aunt Mary or whatever, they can read it. They have every right in the world to. It's their network. It's their machine. You're on it. You're doing your personal stuff on their official, you know, company, whatever. And guess what? The same thing is true for the United States government. When you're using somebody else's device and network, and you're taking your personal stuff and running it through it, it's not immune from scrutiny. So, I mean, that's a lesson probably for your listening audience, but also for Hillary, right? There's no expectation of privacy. Zero. It's not your machine. It's not your network. It's not your email. So, you know, people forget that. They get kind of lazy and loose and sloppy. And, of course, there's any number of stories and, you know, about people getting in trouble for those sorts of things out in the regular world. But Her Royal Highness, you know, Queen Hillary has got a different set of rules for her. Right?
That'd be Madam Secretary.
That's right. I got confused.
You know, Chris Farrell, doesn't this remind you of the good old days of the meaning of is?
Precisely. This is classic Clintonian double talk. I mean, this is it's so offensive, and it's such mind-boggling arrogance, so disconnected from what everyday ordinary Americans you know, live by, go through, experience. It's just nuts. It really is.
Well, apparently she tried to have Bubba bail her out, and he said he only received two emails. And before we get to break here at 580KIDO, how about the calculated picking of the questions yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know, she held it at the United Nations, which is a very constrained operating environment for the press, right? I wish I'd known in advance, because I actually have United Nations credentials. Judicial Watch is a non-governmental organization with membership there. Would have been fun to show up. But the press just can't wander in and conduct, you know, hearing or press conferences. And that's exactly why they picked that location, because they knew that they could say, well, we had a press conference at the United Nations, making it sound as though, you know, it was the most transparent, open thing you could possibly imagine, when just the opposite is true. It's a very constrained environment. And so, I mean, that also is another deliberate ploy, right? She didn't go to the press club. She didn't go to some hotel or some conference center. She goes to some, you know, secret squirrel place that is, like, you know, five times more difficult to get into for ordinary reporters, while all the time claiming, you know, oh, we're here to talk to everyone and explain everything.
Well, like you said, everything is calculated.
It is, absolutely. Yep.
More coming up with our friend Chris Farrell, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. He is with Judy
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:24, Chris Farrell with us from Judicial Watch. Well, Chris, what's next? It's interesting that the administration hasn't really wholeheartedly jumped to the defense of the former Secretary of State.
And they're not likely to either. You know, she's at this stage of the game, she's strictly a liability, and you know, they're not always the bestest of pals, right? I mean, there's still some leftover bad feeling or some unresolved issues that go back, you know, pre-2008. So they're, you know, to a certain degree, they're also subject to her control of the email server as well. I mean, that the email server and the fact that they let her do this is now hung around Obama's neck, right?
Right.
How is it you let your Secretary of State just run wild and do her own thing with email for how many years? And nobody knew, and nobody objected, and nobody said it was a security vulnerability?
You're either complicit or incompetent.
Yeah, exactly. You're either negligent or complicit. Pick. Which one would you like?
Well, again, it's interesting. Yesterday she mentioned the president, this and that. Let me play a couple clips here for you and let you respond.
Why did you wait 2 months? Why did you wait 2 months to turn those emails over? I mean, the rules say you have to turn them over.
Secretary Clinton, delete the personal emails.
Why did you wait 2 months?
I'd be happy to have somebody talk to you about the rules. I fully complied with every rule that I was governed by.
And she says it with a straight face.
Yeah, I mean, she's lying. And I don't use the word lightly. You know, it's easier to say people misspoke or misremembered or it's not exactly accurate or, you know. But this is a case of just outright lying.
What does this mean for Benghazi?
Well, I guess Trey Gowdy yesterday said that he now had, like, I guess, four different reasons to bring her back under oath. So it'll be very interesting to watch, her appearing before the committee and what she says and how she says it. That'll be a get out your popcorn, hunker in on the couch and watch that. That should be very entertaining. Because she's going to twist and turn, and, I mean, don't expect her to ever concede or admit anything. I mean, it's just not in their nature. You know, their first instinct is to start with a lie and then go bigger. She will show up in front of Trey Gowdy's committee now, one would think, at least two, possibly four times, unless she develops another mysterious head injury or something.
Well, does it make any difference that the House has more Republicans, that the Senate is controlled by Republicans now? Because people, and Chris, you walk in broad circles where you have people that want to believe that Benghazi is done, that they have bought into the political argument that Benghazi is over, that the House couldn't find anything. But there are so many things that the government has not released to us on Benghazi.
Sure. I mean, look, the Rogers Intelligence Committee report, is a last-ditch kind of, grenade over the shoulder effort by a disgraced congressman who's now, supposedly he left to go pursue an exciting radio career with Cumulus Broadcasting. His show has never aired, right? He now does, 30-second stand-up spots for CNN, I think, occasionally. There's a cloud over Rogers. There's a cloud over
Rogers. No conflict of interest with Mike Rogers, who actually oversee the regulation of now his said employer.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a cloud concerning the involvement of his spouse with respect to contracting for security services for the State Department. Oh, the State Department. Oh, that's right. So Rogers is not to be taken seriously at this point, and I think he's in trouble. I think that it may, whether it's 6 months or 6 years from now, it may circle back around that he may have been involved in shuffling things along almost as fast and as hard as Hillary.
Amazing. Anything else you guys are looking at? You're always working at Judicial Watch.
It's endless. We have more work than we know what to do with, which is a good thing than a bad thing, though, right? It's simultaneously. I don't want people to take their eye off of the terror threat that is posed along our southern border. Of course, the northern border has its own issues, as you only well know all
sure.
too well. That's probably the most underreported on issue. But one thing that the militant Islamists can't do in Canada is set up training camps, and that's what they have done in Mexico. So that's why I'm a little more worried about the southern border. And we've spent an awful lot of time on the border from Texas and Arizona in particular, and the reporting that I have, and I can't go into detail on it because it's still stuff that is sort of pending, and there's people involved, right? So I can't I'm not going to burn anybody. I never would. But the threat from real live bad guys coming through Mexico into the United States is very real and very dangerous. And so Mohammed shows up in a place like Tampico, Mexico. He gets off of a container ship there, and for $1,500, he gets 100% real Mexican identity documents, you know, all the raised seal and the right stamps and the photo ID and fingerprints and everything else, because it's corrupt government officials there that are willing to generate phony identification documents for that very cheap price of $1,500. And so he's not buying a phony ID at the 7-Eleven or the Circle K for $100. He's getting real, live, legit Mexican papers. And so Mohammed becomes Manuel, right? And then he goes off to a series of training camps in Mexico where he is taught language, culture, dress, food, mannerisms, all the sort of cultural things that allow him to blend in. And then over a period of time, he's moved north. That is real. That is going on today as we speak. And at a certain point, my very grave concern is that those people will start to take action. And so that's what has me worried at night.
Chris Farrell, we always appreciate it. We urge people to support Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. Thank you, sir.
Great to be on. Thanks.
All right. It is 6:32. Coming up next, we go inside ISIS. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. We're joined by Kimberly Adams of Fox News Radio in Egypt. Kimberly, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So when we think of ISIS, we really don't think of their social media presence, but apparently they have quite the presence on Facebook.
They do. It's actually one of the things that's really been frustrating for any government that's been trying to work against them, because they are quite social media savvy. They have been recruiting on Facebook, on Twitter, and as well as in what's called the dark web, all of these secret sites that are more difficult to access, but main areas for terrorists to organize.
So there really is something called the dark web? I thought that was just fiction.
No, it exists. It's basically the parts of the internet that aren't commonly indexed by search engines, and so you have to sort of know where you're looking to get there. And this is the place where the really bad things on the internet seem to happen. But ISIS is still relying mainly on social media sites like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook to recruit fighters. And this is what we've seen happening a lot with some of these people traveling from Europe in particular to Syria and Iraq to fight with the Islamic State. Now, the social media sites have been trying to shut down these ISIS-linked accounts when they find them, but they can't block access from those areas altogether or risk also stifling the voices of activists and citizens in the ISIS-controlled areas who are trying to get out information about what's happening there.
Kimberly Adams with us, Fox News Radio here at 580KIDO. Apparently, ISIS had some issues with Twitter lately.
Yes, a lot of Twitter accounts have been shut down, and the hacktivist group Anonymous also a short time ago launched a big initiative to go after the various accounts linked with the Islamic State and other terrorist groups and took down a great many of those sites as well. What has also been interesting over the weekend is that a supporter of the Islamic State, they claim not to be technically affiliated with ISIS, but a supporter, tried to set up a social media site just for supporters of this terrorist group. They called it Caliphate Book. However, it was taken down within about 24 hours with a message posted on the site saying it was temporarily suspended to protect its users and their safety. And yet at the same time saying that it wasn't affiliated with the Islamic State, but they supported the Islamic State and hoped, quote unquote, that by God's will it would spread through the whole world.
Boy, Caliphate Book.
Yes, Caliphate Book.
Insert your jokes there. It isn't a joking matter here, Kimberly, because the fact of the matter that social media has been very effective in allowing ISIS to recruit young people from the West.
That's very true, and they have, in addition to people fighting with them who are very good at social media, people who are very good at creating these propaganda videos that we keep seeing over and over again, or in my case, I try to avoid seeing them, these videos of the beheadings and of the shootings and of them throwing people off of buildings, these sorts of highly produced professional-looking videos that they use to stoke up this anger and support for their group in different places. I mean, just yesterday there was a video released by the Islamic State showing a child conducting one of these executions. Analysts say the kid couldn't have been more than 12 years old, and he's seen apparently shooting someone in the head.
What's the mood like in Egypt?
In Egypt, they are very worried about the threat from the Islamic State. One of the major terrorist groups here that's been operating in the Sinai Peninsula, Ansar Beit el-Maqdis, has already pledged its allegiance to the Islamic State, now calling itself the Sinai Province of the Islamic State. And then to the west, in Libya, the Islamic State has become very active, and there was a horrible situation of several Egyptian Christians being executed by the Islamic State just a little while ago, and that led to Egypt launching strikes in Libya against targets they said were part of the Islamic State. And then to the south, Boko Haram in Nigeria has also pledged allegiance to the Islamic State. And so in an exclusive interview with Fox News, Egypt's president Abdel Fattah el-Sisi said Egypt was an important part of the regional fight against terrorism, and that they needed the aid of the international community, including the United States, for that ongoing fight.
Kimberly Adams, we appreciate it. Be safe.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kimberly Adams joining us, Fox News Radio. It is 6:44, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. If you missed it yesterday, Hillary Clinton had this to say about her emails.
The vast majority of my work emails went to government employees at their government addresses, which meant they were captured and preserved immediately on the system at the State Department.
Wow. Everything, you notice with the Clintons, they never did anything wrong. Representative Trey Gowdy disagrees.
She doesn't get to make that call. We don't grade our own papers in life.
She doesn't get to make that call. Well, apparently, somebody forgot to tell the former Secretary of State, the former First Lady, the former junior senator from New York that the rules do apply to her. And you heard Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch earlier today saying she could be in big trouble. And by the way, at this news conference yesterday, she did in fact pick the questions.
Were you ever specifically briefed on the security implications of using your own email server and using your personal address to email with the president?
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. So I'm certainly well aware of the classification requirements and did not send classified material.
Josh Earnest said the president was not informed.
He was not aware of the details of how that email address and that server had been set up. Yes, the president was aware of her email address. He traded emails with her. That shouldn't be a surprise that the president of the United States is going to trade emails with the Secretary of State. But the president was not aware of the fact that this was a personal email server.
Right. Well, didn't it say HillaryClinton.com as opposed to state.gov? Linda from Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, madam.
Good morning, Kevin. I watched part of the
news conference.
Press conference.
Yes, right.
Press thing yesterday after late yesterday afternoon, early evening, and she answered no more questions haven't been answered in 4 years. Well, it's more than 4 years now. But since if we get the Clintons back in the White House, and I'm including her husband on this, we are headed for a disaster. This woman has got no common sense. She's out for one person, and that's herself. She's narcissistic. She's selfish, self-centered. And if it's going to work, you know, it, never mind whether it's going to work for you. If it's going to work for me, then I'm all for it. But if it might work for you, well, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. And her comment about Benghazi and, you know, why do we have to talk about this? It's 2.5 years old. We should just put this on the table and leave it there.
Right.
Well, pardon me, but, you know, that's where the problem has been. She has not been honest. She's been one of the most dishonest people. Well, there's a few other ones I could name, but I won't. But, you know, I don't think she knows how to be truthful about anything. It's like she's living in a fantasy land.
Well, exactly. Linda, thank you for the call. We appreciate that, honey.
I took the unprecedented step of asking that the State Department make all my work-related emails public for everyone to see.
Right. But who's to determine? Hillary Clinton, a lawyer. Hillary Clinton, who lived through the Clinton scandals. Hillary Clinton that made money in the commodities game through her relationships. Who's to determine what was personal, what was professional? Cindy in Boise, good morning. You're on with Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm living the dream.
Good. Hey, I have a question. I wanted to call in and talk to Chris Farrell, but I didn't get there in time. Why haven't we brought these people up on charges of tyranny? I mean, it's very blatant that that's what's happening, and I guess I just don't understand.
I don't know you can charge somebody with tyranny.
Well, what do you do then?
Well, I think you can charge them with, you know, articles of impeachment if you're talking about the president, but I don't think tyranny is up there. You could, you know, he's overstepped his bounds. I don't know what the exact legal term for it is. You take a look at her. She's broken the law because she's not supposed to have done this. But, you know, Cindy, I think our big challenge is when you own the police department, you're not going to throw your Secretary of State in prison. Look at the IRS. Look at Nixon on steroids. Look at the NSA. Look at the targeting of the Tea Party. Look at all these things that have been swept under the rug. And, they call it Nixon on steroids.
I know. I totally agree with that. And, you know, even with leaving the borders open and depleting our military, the president's job is to lead the military to protect the people. Well, the opposite is happening. And so to me, that's tyranny. And taking away our weapons so that we're defenseless, that's tyranny. And I don't understand why things aren't, you know, Hillary just needs to flat go to prison.
Well, that sounds good to me. Thank you, Linda, or thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Boy, I've got Linda on my mind. All right, 651, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material.
Well,
when I got to work as Secretary of State, I opted for convenience to use my personal email account. I thought it would be easier. At the time, this didn't seem like an issue.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
656, 49 degrees in Meridian. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for being with us. So there you have the First Lady. I you know, the Clintons are just masters at the game. You can't tell me that someone with her education level, with her government clearance level, would not understand and not know the implications of not using a government email. But remember, this is a woman that lived through Whitewater, that lived through the commodities, that lived through the Rose Law Firm with all those records. Remember all the records that people brought into the White House? So what's the solution to make sure that if she's cutting deals, if she's doing something that she does not want the American people to know about, what's the solution? have her own private server. You know, when you talk to lawyers, it's never black and white when it comes to the law. This is an example of another lawyer. You know, everybody hates lawyers till they need them. Of another lawyer who's an astute politician and now bold-faced lying about these emails. You can tell she's in trouble because the White House is not rushing to her defense. And, you know, Byron York, who we had on a couple weeks ago, did an article like the president has a hardened BlackBerry, but there's only 30 people that are on the list. So I guess he did exchange things back and forth, but look, was that part of the deal to bring her on, that she would have her own private server? He's either complicit or incompetent, right? Now, back to Cindy's question. When you own the sheriff in town, a.k.a. Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch, chances are nothing's going to happen, right? I miss the days of the independent prosecutor, don't you? Time for traffic. Coming up next, another update on the Eagle eminent domain case. Keep it here, 580 KIDO. Good morning.